Our study tonight is out of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. The believer's current chastening versus Catholicism's purgatory. A number of our church members have come from Roman Catholic backgrounds, and they often seek support in biblical truths that counter the strong errant indoctrination they faced in the past. The epistle to the Hebrews was written to counter the errant traditionalism of first century Judaism that was similar in theological thrust to much of Catholicism. So we study Hebrews for edification in this matter. The author of Hebrews, in Hebrews 12, 1 through 11, wrote of the believer's current chastening, what contrasts greatly with Catholicism's belief in purgatory, and review the passage for our insight, our application, and edification. I want to read the verses, and then we'll look at it. Hebrews 12, 1 through 11. Wherefore, seeing we also are surrounded or compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father does not chasten? But if you be without chastisement, whereof you are all partakers, then you are illegitimate sons, not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they truly, for a few days, chastened us after their own pleasure, or what they thought was best. But he, that's God, for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Okay, based on 2 Maccabees 12, verses 42 and 45 of the Apocrypha, the Roman Catholic Church developed the doctrine of purgatory, that all who die in peace with the church, but who are not perfect, must undergo penal and purifying suffering in an intermediate realm known as purgatory. Now, this belief assumes that while God forgives sins, his justice nevertheless demands that the sinner must suffer the full punishment due him for his sin before he will be allowed to enter heaven. That's very different from what we believe. We believe that there's no condemnation that is in Christ Jesus for those who are in Christ Jesus. All our sins have been forgiven. They're covered under the blood. But in Roman Catholicism, that's not the case. As a sinner, you've got to pay for your sins in purgatory. Bellarmine, who's a noted Roman Catholic, I believe he was also a cardinal, claimed the pains of purgatory are very severe, surpassing anything endured in this life, if you can imagine that. He also asserted there's absolutely no doubt that the pains of purgatory in some cases endure entire centuries. Can you imagine being in purgatory for hundreds of years? Thus, fear of purgatory drives fear of the priest, fear of the confessional, fear of the consequences of missing Mass, fear of the discipline of penance, fear of death, fear of purgatory itself, fear of righteous judgment before an angry God. In contrast to Roman Catholicism's doctrine of purgatory, Romans 8:1 declares that believers in Christ have no eternal condemnation before God. And 2 Corinthians 5:8 declares that for a believer to be absent from his body in physical death is for him to be present with the Lord who is in heaven. There is no purgatory. Significantly, Hebrews 12, 1-11 counters the Catholic doctrine of purgatory by teaching on God's chastening of the believer in this earthly life, that he might partake of God's holiness and righteousness in this earthly life. That's a different from the Catholicism. In Catholicism, they don't believe that you actually partake of the holiness and the righteousness of God in this life. That happens after you suffer in purgatory. But for the Christian, the discipline of God in this life prepares us to live in righteousness and holiness now, in this life. God isn't happy with us just living in sin. He wants us to live righteously now so that when the rapture happens, it's a very smooth transition into the presence of the Lord. We'll be without a sin nature, but we should be righteousness. And in fact, I remember 1 John 2:1 says, "These things have I written unto you that you sin not." God doesn't want us to sin. Well, Christ, the author of Hebrews, stated that his Hebrew Christian readers were obligated by God to heed the example of Hebrews 11 Old Testament saints to live by faith. Indeed, he noted that Jesus himself also exampled a life of faith and its eternal reward of being seated at the Father's right hand. Christ endured opposition by sinners, even to the point of death. So Christian believers must follow his example and resist sinning by a life of unbelief, even if doing so costs believers their lives. In other words, God wants us to believe, not live a life of unbelief. Lest we be tempted not to resist sinning in unbelief, we must recall that God chastens us because he loves us. So we should not faint if rebuked by him, but respond with obedience or be chastened. I've heard some believers say, "Man, God must love me a whole lot because I'm going through a lot of chastening." If we were not chastened by the Lord for sin, we would not be a true child of God. So we need to appreciate God's expression of love in chastening us to make us righteous in our earthly walk. Our earthly parents chastened us as children, so we respected them. And we need to revere the Lord when he chastens us, that we submit to his rule, that we might live relatively long lives on the earth. It's interesting. Long life is something that is seen as a favorable thing for a believer. It's true that God may have a program for a believer where his life isn't 70 years and whatnot. It all depends upon the Lord. But if we're living righteously, the life that we do live and will live is the longest plan that God has for us. And that's always seen as a positive thing. In fact, Paul said that children obey your parents, for this is the first command of promise. And promise is a long life. That's right in the Ten Commandments itself. So, contrary to Roman Catholic Church's doctrine of purgatory, God works with us that we might be holy in our experiential walk in this life. God is not satisfied, like I've said before. He's not satisfied as in Catholic theology, where you have to be perfected by going through excruciating pain that is equal to the pain of hell itself in purgatory in order to be righteous. No. God says, "No, I want you to be righteous now." And that's why it's always beneficial for us to learn to live by faith and to confess our sins that we might be forgiven. If we judge ourselves, we would not be judged. So God's discipline is not immediately joyful, but painful. Yet his discipline later yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness in this life for those who have been trained by it, by his discipline. So apart from a purgatory, God arranges to discipline us in this life that we might partake of his righteousness and blessing in this life. So where the Roman Catholic Church teaches that a Christian at death, who's not perfect, must go through the pyres of purgatory that are more painful than any suffering of this life, pay many years for all of the sins in this life to enter heaven, God fully positionally forgives the believer when he's justified and then disciplines him in his earthly walk to gain the experiential holiness and righteousness of God for blessing and peace in this earthly life. That's always something to keep in mind. God has high expectations for us through the power of the Spirit of God. He wants us to live in such a way that we are living lives that are righteous, that are holy, that means separate from sin. And he wants us to achieve that in this life. He doesn't want us to wait until, I mean, when we get into eternity, we'll be perfected. We won't have sin natures and everything, but he wants his children to be overcomers now. So may we rejoice in our release from God's eternal condemnation to hell and a dreadful purgatory to be disciplined in this life, that we might partake of the Lord's holiness and righteousness for blessing in this life. It's such a wonderful thing. The love of God for us is so great that he wants us to enjoy his blessing. He wants us to enjoy his blessing as soon as we can. And that takes our living righteously and holy, separate from sin. He wants us to do that right now. So, and that is available. If it weren't available, if it weren't possible for us to live righteously right now, it would be a very different program. But God expects it of us today because he wants us to. He's provided the resources for us in Christ to live righteously. So he says, go ahead, live righteously, and that way I can bless you. That's the heart of God. He wants to bless his children. So God help us.